This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Football.
Dex, if you want to fire the intro, it's up to you. I can stop playing football sounders.
Oh, here
otherwise,
we go.
We can just...
Let's do it.
Okay. Nonstop okay. Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Purple Daily, presented by Surly Brewing Company.
Yeah. I think this calls for two sounders here. The breaking news, for sure. I don't know about you guys, but with Brian Flores now the new defensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings, I think it calls for a, hey, they hired a competent, aggressive, defensive-minded coordinator.
Yep. We got the towel. We got the flag. It's all okay.
Is this some boxer breeze he's going to wave?
It's all okay.
Where's this going next?
Look at this, man. Purple pride. Little Red McCombs. Purple pride.
Oh, I have one of those somewhere, too. Love the old purple pride. Mm-hmm. All right, Stella's welcome, excited. And Stella's excited about it. I'm sure
go,
Maya will be excited about it at some point.
Something.
Vinny's passed out from excitement. This is Purple Daily, Daily Vikings Entertainment, where we just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die, and hiring a good defensive coordinator is at least a step in the right direction. We'll get to this breaking news here and what it means in just a moment. The show is presented, this, by the way, this live emergency episode of Purple Daily on the Purple Daily YouTube channel, is presented by our friends, an official partner of the NFL now, TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronics brands. They have a new lineup of award-winning TVs delivering the most entertainment with stunning resolution, all at an affordable cost. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Shout out to Surly Brewing Company as well, the official craft beer of Purple Daily. So, all right, Judd, we did a whole episode this morning on what's happening here. Brian Flores is a finalist for the Cardinals head coaching job. It's basically him and Mike Pettine are the only two standing here in the Vikings defensive coordinator search. We thought this was going to take maybe days to play out. And Flores had a shot to go be the defensive coordinator, maybe under Sean Payton with the Broncos. He chooses the Vikings. What do you make of this?
So I saw that this report just come out from Rappaport and Schefter. The first thing I make is that the Cardinals must have told him, we're not going in your direction. Or he must have got a strong feeling from the insiding, because I can't imagine he would bail on a head coaching job before he gets the chance to talk to him again. And if I'm not mistaken, we talked about this morning, he was going to talk to him again on Wednesday. So I'm guessing something definitely took place there. I also, just pure speculation, I wonder if the Vikings stepped up their financial offer, that if Flores indeed had intelligence that the Cardinals were out on him, that they basically said, okay, we want you. How do we cut off this Broncos thing altogether, right? And they were probably told, well, if you write the check big enough, you're going to get him. So just trying to put the pieces of this together and what's unfolded since we got done with our Purple Daily podcast this morning. I'm guessing that those two things took place in some way, shape, or form. But, I mean, this was... as we discussed, like this to me was the last very palatable option. Like, this is a good, solid hire.
Yes.
After this, I think it was time to panic. So, like, if this is the one that you were going to land on, congratulations, kudo, and it's great. But I still think that there was certainly some cause for concern when we recorded this morning. What I make of this, though, is that the Vikings understood that it was basically had become a necessity that if they weren't going to get the first two guys that we talked about this morning, that Brian Flores was the real option left.
So, excuse me, on the surface, I love this. This is, it's a credible name. It's one of the two names reportedly that they had circled atop their list. Giro Vero was the other one. He winds up in Carolina. So you didn't have to like go six names down your list and just settle for someone. You wind up with someone that you targeted and that you wanted that has a legitimate case to be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, his time as a head coach, just let's just look at from a leadership perspective here. Brian Flores, the Dolphins were trying actively as an organization to tank in 2019, if you remember, when they hired him. He kind of got hired into a really bad, I mean, it was already kind of a dumpster fire franchise for 20 years at that point, post Don Shula, post Dan Marino. And they bring in Brian Flores, and all right, the cabinets are pretty much bare here, and you're going to have the corpse of Ryan Fitzpatrick at age like 38, and you're going to have Josh Rosen as a starter for a month during that season too. And they want so they started 0-7. They didn't quit. They could have just started making tee times for the offseason, right? And he took that team, that ragtag bunch in 2019, and they wound up winning like five of their last, I want to say, nine games. And they went 5-4 to finish that season. And then they came back, won 10 games in 2020. They won nine games in 2021. And he gets fired unceremoniously because the Dolphins owner was trying to back channel on, you know, $20 million yachts with Sean Payton and Tom Brady, and Brian Flores blew a whistle on it and said, this is ridiculous. This is a dumpster fire franchise, and I have taken you to 10 wins and 9 wins in back-to-back seasons. So just in terms of leadership, getting players to buy in, yeah, there are some things reported that maybe he didn't get along with Tua behind the scenes in Miami, but he's still young. He's, what, 41 years old. He has spent considerable amount of time around Bill Belichick early in his career, Mike Tomlin in his career. He takes a 3-4 scheme defense to an aggressive man coverage sort of corridor of the 3-4 family. And we went over some of these numbers earlier today and last week in our defensive coordinator episode last week. If you look at Miami Dolphins defenses under Brian Flores, blitzing, aggressiveness, cover one, cover zero, if they're going to give up 30 points, it's going to be with, hey, we're going to be taking it to your quarterback. We're going to try and make him uncomfortable and force the opposing team into turnovers. So on the surface, this looks like a huge win for Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi, and the Vikings.
And now it's to me, what becomes imperative now is that they certainly go and get the type of personnel that Flores is going to want, right? Like yeah. that becomes the next thing. Is that you do go out and make some moves. Again, I am all for, if you're going to make one significant investment once some salary cap room is cleared in free agency, if it's a cornerback, that's cool with me. I'm fine with that. But yeah, this now really, I think, revolves around doing what Donatel couldn't do, which was you do have to make the most of your personnel. And you also have to, scheme it and use it towards what your limited amount of stars do well. Like Danielle Hunter, who I'm assuming is going to be back unless there is some type of issue contractually. Danielle Hunter has to be maximized all season long. And it can't be this, well, he's trying to learn. And I mean, you can't yeah. be, you know, you're into what, November, December. And you're like, well, he's still learning. No, you have to have a defense that is basically what O'Connell did offensively, which is, yes, I've got my beliefs and my system, but we're also going to make sure it revolves around what my guys do well. Yeah. And so, and I give Brian Flores a far better chance of accomplishing that. And that's the next big step.
Well, something to note too, those Dolphins defenses, you know, they had, I mean, my God, like Xavien Howard in his prime a couple of years ago was able to do things that probably no other cornerback on the Vikings can do. So, you know, if you start to look at the nuts and bolts of those Dolphins defenses, second highest pressure rate in the NFL in 2021. They had the second highest blitz rate in 2021, but you can get away with aggressive blitzing style, right? Sending an extra man when you know that if right. you leave your cornerbacks on an island, hey, you got to go one-on-one, they're not going to get torched. So you bring up kind of an interesting avenue here that we can talk about throughout this episode. I want to get Declan's thoughts here too, but you know, what does this hiring mean for the personnel on defense? They have to get rid of some of these older players for just cap savings. But does it make it more likely that Harrison Smith sticks around, for instance, that maybe you would keep a couple veterans sprinkled in and look to save some cap with Eric Kendricks or Jordan Hicks or something? But Declan, when you saw this news come across today, what was your first thought?
I mean, this is the ideal target, right? I think this was your 1A because he has a great pedigree of being a pretty successful head coach with what he was given with the personnel in Miami. I'm curious, too, of what he wants to bring here. I mean, is it still going to be the 3-4? Are they going to rely more on man than zone? Like, what traits does Kevin O'Connell still want to bring? Or is this also a thing where Kevin O'Connell kind of has to sit down with himself and obviously Brian Flores and say, all right, what do we want to establish here? Kevin O'Connell wanted his thing established with Ed Donatell, and he trusted him to run that. And from an outsider's perspective, with Brian Flores having success with how he does things, how does that then influence KOC? And where does KOC also still give him the freedom to create his own defensive scheme that makes it successful? And then also, when there are issues, where does KOC have to step in? But personally, I still think getting a guy like Brian Flores, who has been there and done that defensively, ideal hire for the Vikings. Because if they didn't get this guy, I know Judd added some additional names on our Purple Daily episode on Monday as well, that they could have went after if these names started to trickle away. But I do think Flores, at the end of the day, maybe you can put him up there with Ibarra, but I think this was the 1A topic or target for them for their defensive coordinator position.
I think the thing too now is, so O'Connell, a year ago, O'Connell knew what defense he most didn't like to see his teams play against. And I think the assumption was, okay, I can't get, or they didn't get Fangio. I hate playing against what he has basically schemed up. And so I'm going to go get a disciple of Vic, which was Donatell. I think after a year now, the question can't be just, what do I offensively not like? It has to be, what is offensively or defensively realistic too? And that again gets back to scheming around and making sure that the top guys that you have are successful. The other thing is as well, and I think that they learned this, was, you know, in sticking with Hicks and Kendricks and not playing Asamoah more, they clearly lost the opportunity for a transition there that could have been made. It might have had some hiccups, but as we've talked about before, how much worse could this defense have been? Like, it was a disaster already. So it's not like, oh, Brian Asamoah sucks, you know, put Hicks back in. These are all things that O'Connell probably learned. And look, he's not a defensive guy. And there's no question. Like, there is very few coaches now who come from a side of the ball who are fluent on the opposite side. They know what they don't like to see, but they're not fluent there. I think Brian Flores can basically be assistant head coach defense, which is exactly what you should be, which is where I questioned Ed. Now, this is not all to blame the Vikings 2020 two struggles on Donatell, but where I questioned Ed was a really good position coach. Like, I do think that in his heyday, he was a good secondary coach. Was he a great or good defensive coordinator? I would debate that. I would say no. Flores might not have had the title, but if you look at a guy who was a head coach for a couple of years, and Belichick is very weird with his titles, but there's no question Brian Flores has had a lot more hands-on pressurized situations than Ed. So I think that this is one where O'Connell can defer more and not be as concerned that things are going to fall through the cracks. Things clearly fell through the cracks this past season.
Yeah. So here is, for people wondering about scheme, and Declan, you asked a couple of questions about, like, are they going to play? Is it, so these are 3-4 sort of base concepts that Donatell brought in, Kevin O'Connell subscribes to, and Brian Flores comes from a 3-4 background. The question is, okay, is it going to be rooted in man coverage, zone coverage? So there's a great write-up here. Actually, it's parts of two websites. So Dolphins Wire did a write-up a couple years ago looking at the 2020 Dolphins defense after a couple years of Flores as head coach. And then they cited some work here from Pro Football Focus. So you've got your Belichick tree of 3-4, and you've got your Fangio tree of 3-4. The Bill Belichick tree, and this is, again, this is from 2021, but conceptually, this still applies, I would assume. The Belichick tree in the bottom left of a graph that they're pointing out shows that the Dolphins, Lions, and Patriots featured the most man coverage with cover zero and cover one. The Vic Fangio tree, Broncos, Bears, Rams, is the opposite side with zone coverage like cover four and cover six. So there's another part of this, too, that looks at scheme uniqueness. That's right. Scheme uniqueness. And it says the fascinating part comes in inspecting the graphs included within the study that showcases Miami's coverage uniqueness. The Dolphins check in at number two overall, just behind the Rams. Being unique doesn't necessarily guarantee your coverage and pass defense will be good, but Miami's overall defensive performance clearly indicates that the different looks Flores put together for his unit allowed them to find success on the field. So you can be unique and still run zone, cover four, cover six. It sounds like Flores historically has leaned a lot more on man coverage than Donatell did with the Vikings last year. Vikings have the personnel to play man coverage with their cornerbacks? That's the question. Sorry.
No, you're good. There's also a little bit of more updates from Kevin Seifert on ESPN.com right now that kind of explains that, number one, that Flores' defense in Miami was known for the heavy blitzing, man-to-man coverage, things that obviously Donatell and the 2022 Vikings stayed away from. And indeed, with a little bit of the timeline, too, of these interviews, he did say that sources told ESPN that defensive Broncos coordinator Ejiro Rivero was the Vikings' top candidate before he took the job, obviously, yesterday with the Panthers after he was released. So they were obviously targeting Rivero, but then something clearly has pivoted, you know, in the last 24 hours. Cause I believe Rivero took this job about 24 hours we're recording go from right now. So something has happened in the last 24 hours that convinced them, in my opinion, that clearly Brian Flores had to be their guy all along.
So wait, but did Vero bail first, right?
Correct. Yeah, they never got an interview. An interview with him.
So he was choice one, and he told O'Connell, sorry, bye. And so, but this is still, look, this, if you had told us at the outset of the process that it was going to come down to ultimately Brian Flores being the guy, we wouldn't complain. So I'm fine with this. I'm fine with this.
And I agree.
It does sound like he called it the Cardinals and said, I'm going to take the Vikings job and bailed. But I mean, again, he might have gotten intelligence that that was not going to go his way. It's just, it had become, as much as I am not a rush to get the guy job, this had become imperative that the Vikings, with guys going off the board, made a decision and got a guy. And so, however they got this done, this is definitely a name that I think the entire team is comfortable with. You go into the Mike Pettin bin and start going down that path, potentially, if Brian Flores hadn't got this job, I think you get into an uncomfortable discussion of if this was truly your guy. Can you get up at that press conference and say, you know what, this entire process, we're thrilled to have Mike Pettin? Probably not. Brian Flores, I think you can justify that.
Yeah. Do they keep Pettin on the staff?
Yeah, he's probably going to remain. I mean, I think he was O'Connell's bench coach. So unless he wants to go back to being a coordinator elsewhere, and I don't know if that would be college or what. I guess my question is, does Brian Flores now bring in some position coaches, and are the Vikings going to have to part ways with guys that Donatell potentially brought
almost
in?
Almost certainly, yeah. Almost certainly.
Which is, again, going to cost you money.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Wilfs had to be nudged a little bit. Maybe there's some sticker shock on some of these. I mean, the fact that Vic Fangio just got a $4.5 million contract. If I'm Brian Flores, I mean, is there any, I mean, Vic Fangio has been doing it like 20 years longer. So I you know, Vic Fangio is going to be highly sought after, highly paid, but very interesting. I don't know if we'll find out what Brian Flores is making, but to pull him away from the Steelers, because he didn't have to leave the Steelers. He was getting, like we talked about this morning on our first episode today, he was getting head coaching run as a finalist without being a coordinator. So he didn't have to leave the sort of the cushy work underneath Mike Tomlin. The Steelers are progressing in kind of a, like an on the fly rebuild. And who knows what happened in the communication with Sean Payton and the Saints, but you're basically bringing in a head coach of the defense. I think Donatell was always the coordinator of the defense with some Mike Pettin guidance. And then, Kevin O'Connell had to kind of come in, a couple come to Jesus meetings. I mean, Brian Flores is truly a head coach of the defense. Mm-hmm. And he has signed up for whatever this rebuild is going to look like. He has clearly bought into it without necessarily feeling pressured to take the job.
It's got to be a big payday, right? Because the as we discussed this morning, the issue here now is like, this is going to take, I would think, a couple of years. Cause like, you can't go and get every bit of personnel in the next, you know, few months before training camp starts. And I also have to think that the danger of this job is if you don't improve this thing next year, when the season's done, are there going to be, you know, opportunities to get a head coaching job again? So I got to think that he got, you know, a 3-year contract or more that pays really well.
Yeah.
But to go back to where the Vikings were this morning, I think they had no choice. I really think that they had no choice. Like, who was well, we know who was next, but like, how would that have sat? How would that have looked? And forget externally, I'm saying internally. I just don't think that there would have been a ton of excitement if they had paraded Pettine up there and been like, he was basically our bench coach last year, and now he's our DC. I think that there probably is some skepticism there. So, yeah, this is definitely... This was the most important last guy, and they got him.
Here's something that probably stood out. I don't even know if there's an actual resume for Brian Flores at this point. Probably not, or if he has a LinkedIn profile. But if he did have one, the Dolphins, he took over a dumpster fire situation when Adam Gase left, right? Adam Gase was just, he's on the Mount Rushmore of being in over your head as a head coach, right? The last 10 years or so.
I don't know.
Nathaniel Hackett's the George Washington. Adam Gase is somewhere on that list, staring wide-eyed. Yes.
Yep.
And it's funny because the Dolphins actually, like, they were fairly competitive under Adam Gase. They won 7 games, but they had the 29th and 27th ranked scoring defenses in Adam Gase's last couple years. And then in that Dolphins, that first year with Flores taking over, and they were just set up to draft number one or number two with their roster, and he gets them to fight for 5 wins at the end of the season. That was the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL for the whole season. In his second year, they went from the 32nd ranked scoring defense to the 6th ranked scoring defense overnight. So the Vikings are probably looking at that saying, okay, that's pretty much what we're going to have to do if we want to continue forward here and compete. Yeah. Another interesting trend of note in 2019. So again, Flores takes over this dumpster fire and it takes a minute to get things turned around. So that first year, the Dolphins gave up the most passing touchdowns of any team in the NFL. His second year, the second fewest passing touchdowns of any team in the NFL. And I believe they ranked first in interceptions too. So he came into Miami and it took a year. But by the second year, it was one of the better defenses in the entire league under Flores. So probably a pretty big selling point for where the Vikings are at with their defense right now.
I would far prefer, if I'm going to get burned or struggled defensively, to go down being aggressive too. Like, that's the thing that drives you crazy when you can't just say, well, we're willing to give up 10-yard passes because we're going to stop teams deep. Number one, lots of times, as the 2022 Vikings showed, you don't stop teams deep. And two, it's maddening to watch teams be allowed to move down the field, even slowly. So, like, if you're going to struggle, I would far rather that you go down being aggressive, sending blitzes, trying to jump routes. And I'm not saying be dumb, but there is somewhere a happy medium, right, between being dumb and being so chill and being so prevent that it's like, what are you doing?
Ed, what are you doing? We're just chilling, man.
Yeah. We're just chilling,
guy.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
And look, I don't want O'Connell to have to continue to basically go prod the guy to play a defensive scheme or system that makes sense.
Yeah, this is fascinating. If you're just joining us, by the way, welcome into this emergency live episode of Purple Daily on the Purple Daily YouTube channel. If you could click the subscribe button and the like button, that would be great. It would help us spread the word about this community of Vikings fans. We all just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl at some point before we die. And maybe Brian Flores can help point things in that direction. So knowing that those Dolphins defenses under Flores and sort of the Belichick 3-4 tree that we're talking about here, that the Vikings have plucked from, a lot more man coverage. They want to be a lot more aggressive. They want to send blitzers about twice as often as Ed Donatell did last year. What does it mean for personnel? How do you sort of see this playing out now? Okay, because Brian Flores probably comes in here with some strong opinions about who's actually cooked, who's not. Can we really just do this with all young players? He's probably going to want a couple veteran players to stick around too. I agree with what you said earlier, Judd. This probably means that Danielle Hunter is more likely to stick around, because wouldn't you kind of want that assurance if you're Flores? Hey, like, we're not gonna say goodbye to that guy, right? I'd want to know that before I'm taking this job.
Well, I think it means that you're going to go from a 3-4 that was a little bit more, it was multiple, but probably a little bit more traditional, to trying to look at your personnel. And you've got to, from day one of training camp, have Danielle Hunter do what he does well. So it can't be this. Well, if Danielle Hunter is at a point in his career where standing up as an outside rush linebacker doesn't work, then he's not doing it. Then he's going to be in the first, he's going to be in the 3-4 or 4-3 with his hand out. Okay. So that's the first thing. Like, this can't be you need to learn this. No. Brian Flores needs to come in and say, Danielle, what do you want to do? What do you do well? Now, the Hunter contract is intriguing. Like, he's going to want to raise again. He certainly ran into some issues with the team in the Spielman years. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. Harrison Phillips, I think, is back. My guess is Zadarius is not back now. I mean, he's a guy with a bad back. He was great when healthy, but he missed the entire year, essentially, in 2021, 22, half the season. He was very good and then got hurt again. I got to think Kendricks is gone. I got to think Jordan Hicks is gone. Patrick Peterson's an interesting one now. You need to upgrade at cornerback, but I guess my question becomes, what does Brian Flores value from veterans? And do you try and re-sign Peterson? Although I'm not going to break the bank for him at all. Do you keep Harrison Smith because of that? Ideally, do you keep him and restructure him? That's a possibility. And then you've got to go out and you've got to get help at cornerback. I think Lewis Cine, if he is fully recovered first day of training camp, has to start. Like, this whole thing about, well, Cam Bynum. No. This was your first round pick.
Agreed.
And you either bring Dalvin Tomlinson back or you upgrade there again. But I do think that we will see probably a lot more multiplicity, 3-4, 4-3, different coverages. And I think what we will see is a defense that, from a coaching standpoint, just day one of camp, is higher functioning.
Yeah. Super fascinating, man. I think this is still a multi-year defensive rebuild, because you just have half of your players are aging and or becoming free agents. And so it kind of depends on, like, is he going to do a good enough job overnight to get a head coaching job? But this is likely the springboard to Brian Flores's next head coaching gig, right? And I think everyone involved has to just be okay with that.
Absolutely.
And I know that there's been some commentary about, and you've brought this up too, Judd. Do you want someone that's going to come in here and use you for a year and then go get a head coaching job? And I say, listen, if Brian Flores does a good enough job to take this defense, which was one of the most laughable defenses in the league last year, and he does a good enough job overnight to get a head coaching gig, because he's going to be judged on that, right? If the defense is terrible, he might still get an interview or two because he's in that cycle now. But, like, he's got to produce as a coordinator. And if he produces enough to get a head coaching job immediately, I think the 2023 Vikings probably had a pretty damn good season and maybe went back to the playoffs and maybe won a game or two. So I'm all for him using the Vikings in this situation if it raises the level for the entire team and for the next coordinator that comes in.
Dex, thoughts?
Yeah, I think the whole thing is very interesting just because there's interesting pieces here that you want to keep and build around. Yeah, I mean, you'd love to keep Danielle Hunter. And if I'm Brian Flores, I'm probably already had initial conversations, right, of that guy has to stay here. And if we have to figure out complicated ways and have difficult conversations on how we have to pay him and figure out the math there, we got to do that. I think it's probably more likely he is now here because he is going to want that turnkey as the best option in his defense. I think Harrison also probably stays. I think he's likely to stay. Lewis Cine has been like tweeting out and putting on his social media all these crazy workout videos. It looks like his rehab is at least progressing heavily from what we're seeing on social media, at least. I agree with Judd. He probably should be a week one starter, if not a very high contributor right away for the Vikings. But there are some still difficult conversations that they have to kind of have here, especially with guys like Za'Darius Smith or Eric Kendricks, Pat P, et cetera. But I think I'll also trust Brian Flores and put more trust that, all right, from an outsider's perspective, I know what players here are probably pretty good and what scheme I want to run here. So I won't just bow to him, but I think I will probably default to him on what players and personnel are probably the right ones to have in place over someone else's opinion.
Yeah. And linebackers are kind of his forte. That's how he was the Patriots linebackers coach, and I'm guessing kind of a de facto defensive coordinator the last 3 years in New England. That was the springboard to get him the head coaching job. Wow. And then he went back to being Maya. Excited outside the story.
Like Stella before.
Yeah. Then linebacker. So if anyone has an eye for, all right, Eric Kendricks, Jordan Hicks, your thoughts, it's going to be Brian Flores over the next few weeks.
Well, and if you're going to keep Danielle and most likely extend him, then somebody has to go, right? I would think the conversation with Kendrick shouldn't be that tough. I think that should be a very cut and dry. Hey, he's probably done here. Harrison Smith, I think you're probably going to ask to take a pay cut, but he might take it too. Harrison Smith is, in my opinion, the viablest, if that's a word, of that group. Patrick Peterson,
most
probably
viable,
gone.
Be another option.
I like viablest. But he is the most... He has the most ability, in my opinion, to, if he takes a pay cut, be a solid contributor. I just don't know that Kendricks has a thing left in the gas tank. Yeah. I know Maya's upset about it.
I know, I agree. By the way, the press release came out from the Vikings officially announcing this hire, and Chris Thomason noting, too, that when Kevin O'Connell was a rookie in New England, Flores had his first special teams assistant job with the Patriots as a coach. So these two dude have at least some type of background on each other too. I know Yavero was his guy because they also spent time with the Rams too, but these two also have crossed paths before.
Yeah. Vikings communications sending this note out with Pittsburgh in 2022. Flores led a defense. Well, he didn't lead a defense, but he helped lead a defense. They gave up just 7 rushing touchdowns, which was tied with New England for the fewest allowed in the NFL. Pittsburgh's opponent also had the league's 6th lowest completion percentage last year. Again, he was part of a Mike Tomlin ecosystem there. But yeah, I think just to bring it all kind of back, this is a great hire for the Vikings. It's one of the two names they had circled. Maybe Ivero was number one, but Brian Flores was right there. They aren't settling here. They're also bringing someone in to help a young head coach, a guy with head coaching experience. Mm-hmm. So... any other final thought? Oh, by the way, Brian Asamoah just tweeted out star eye emojis and like a smile of some kind with a mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, like the smirk, like the...
Yeah.
Yeah, that emoji. You know what I'm talking about.
So Brian Asamoah is very excited.
Yeah. Because he should be starting on opening day 2023.
He
should
be
excited.
Yeah. So, all right. Any other final thoughts from you guys on this emergency?
No, I'm just glad it's done.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's wrapped up, and I'm glad that they didn't have to go to a secondary list of guys that we would have probably shrugged and rolled our eyes at. This is a quality hire. And Phil, you're right. If he is here a year and gets a job, it means he did something right.
Yes. Yeah. This is a legit hire. This actually makes you excited to think and talk about the defense now. Whereas before it was like, oh my God, what is this mess that we have to sift through? This cesspool of mediocrity. So it'll be fun to look ahead now and see what are they going to do with personnel? What are they going to do in the draft?
And Maya's trying to weigh in right now.
She is. It's hard to understand her though. Cause she, no, it's Maya.
No, it's not
Stella.
Yeah, Vinny's.
She doesn't speak English. She just barks and makes noises. So
I want to go back home.
Can't always tell what she wants.
Let's go.
Oh, she's not from here. She's from out there.
We don't know her past. I don't know. Maybe she was.
Maya's
a West Coast dog. Maya was born and raised in, I don't know what, where she was raised, but it was in California.
Okay. Yeah, and now you're dragging her to the Midwest where it's freezing cold.
Oh, she'll be fine. She hates the rain more than anything. So I think if we can just kind of reduce the amount of time.
Tommy Herr. She's going to be like, this is a hellhole in Minnesota. Get me out of here.
Wow, Jeb with a 1987 obscure baseball reference there here on Purple Daily.
Tommy Herr. All of our people know. If you don't know who Tommy Herr is, Google it. Find it. It's a great anecdote.
I'd love to know what percentage of people listening to this episode right now have any idea who Tommy Herr is. Let us know in the comment section.
Tell us in the comments. I'm looking at the comments. They are currently fighting about Kirk.
Of course. We haven't mentioned Kirk once.
They've disintegrated into a huge Kirk fight. I'm watching it. It's hilariously funny.
Does the Brian Flores hire make it more or less likely that Kirk Cousins sticks around for his
tomorrow
age 35
on
season?
Purple Daily?
I remember Tommy Herr. Jeff, thank you, Jeff.
All right. Mike Posh says, is that Ben Herr's cousin?
He came here on a chariot from St. Louis.
Oh, man. All right, we got to go.
Bye, Maya.
Maya bites my neck. And we'll see you guys tomorrow with Thor, some reckless draft speculation with our guy Thor Nystrom on Purple Daily tomorrow.